Hey, everybody, you are listening to the Rising Above podcast, and I'm your host, Becky Davidson. Today, we are continuing the conversation that I had recently with my friends, Dawn Fry and Lori Chapman, as we talk about some of those hard conversations, some of those hard things that we have to look at as our children transition into adulthood, things like special needs trust and conservatorships and just different situations that we have to consider as our children graduate from high school. What will life look like for them once they have transitioned into the adulthood services? And so I had a great conversation with them. It went so well that we decided to divide it into two different podcast episodes. So if you missed part one, be sure to go back and find it. Listen to part one. But today you're going to hear the continuation of that conversation I had with them as we talk about some of those things that, you know, quite honestly, when my son was younger, I had no idea about. I would hear those terms, conservatorship or special needs trust, but until I actually got down to it and had to do those things for my son, they seemed overwhelming. But once we got through them, looking back now, it wasn't as bad as I had and hard as I thought that it was originally going to be. So you'll get to hear how it worked out for me. You'll get to also hear from Lori's perspective and Dawn's perspective as an attorney and a special needs parent, some of the things that you may need to consider as our children get older, as our children mature, as they look at leaving the school setting and going into adult services. So have a listen to part two as we talk about transitioning into adulthood for our children with special needs. Hey girls, Dawn and Lori, welcome back.
Thank you.
Part two. We had our conversation last month talking about transition, about transitioning into adulthood, and we saw in the conversation that there was no way we could cover it all in that episode. So here we go for part two, because there's a lot. But in that first episode, in case you missed it, we talked about transitioning from high school into the different programs that you might find, you know, once before our kids turn 22, which would be like voc rehab or in an independence program, or like if John Alex were still in school, staying in the special ed program until they were 22. We talked about conservatorships and what that looks like. So those are just some of the things that we talked about in that conversation. So if you miss that, you may want to go back and listen, because we kind of went into more detail in that. But we're going to shift a little bit and talk about some other things that, you know, it's really when you look at it, I remember when I think about it now, how overwhelming it felt at the time. You know, now that I'm on the other side of it,
yeah. You
know, I look at you, Lori, and you're right in the throes of all of that. And I remember for me feeling that sense of completely being overwhelmed, because you've gone from kind of pretty much where the school system's holding your hand through all of this to now it's you.
Yes.
I mean, you know, the school system walks you through all your IEPs and there you're at a team, and then all of a sudden, nope, it's you.
Kind of like having that baby and then having to go home from the hospital without any help.
And it's like, yeah, exactly.
A little overwhelming.
And so, you know, I'm on the other side of it now. I've already been through all of that. But so in this episode, we want to talk a little bit about some of the estate planning things, some of the other things that might be out there for adults with special needs. And so let's dig in. Okay. So the first thing we wrote that we were going to talk about was, yes, Dawn. Dawn's
okay.
Raising your hand.
I am raising my hand. So I just want to say one thing about the school programs, because we really only mentioned two things. So please.
In episode one. Yeah.
Please ask and search, because there are lots of other things out there, and I guarantee you no one is probably going to offer them to you.
Mm.
You have to search and look and ask questions. So by no means was that anywhere near an exclusive list. So I just wanted to point that out. Okay, I'm ready.
Well, and what I would say to that, one of the things that I've always tried to do,
and I think we've done it in our friendship, is I find someone who's several years ahead of me on the path.
Yes.
Someone who's, okay, my child's turning 18. I want to find somebody who's been through that. And I talked to several parents who had gone through that and could kind of walk me through what that looks like. So finding a parent of a child who's similar to your child, who is maybe a couple of years ahead.
Because that's right.
Our stories are going to, all three of us, we have such different dynamics to our kids, it would be completely differently.
That's
right. But for you to find someone who is similar to, same along the lines of Austin, for you to find someone similar to Josie, okay, what did you do? What did that look like? That, to me, has always been a help because they know what's available and,
right,
and what's there.
Because I saw on a post on Facebook from one of our local special needs moms, and she was advertising that she was looking for an assistant for her son, and he's a couple of years older than my Austin, and it was going to be 12 hours a week and blah, blah, blah. So I just emailed her and said, okay, I saw that you had posted this. How are you funding that?
Mm-hmm.
How did you get it? What did you do?
Yeah.
So, and she emailed me back and told me. So I think that's exactly what you need to do.
It's helpful.
Because really, you can start to do it.
So what did she tell you?
Well, actually, I wanted to mention this in this episode. This is Tennessee, but if you don't live in Tennessee, there would be similar programs. But it was Choices.
Okay.
Yeah.
Choices. So our Choices are ECF, employment.
Mm-hmm. And that's what John Alex is on, ECF waiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, employment first or something. Yeah. Anyway, it's Choices, mm-hmm. and you have to apply for it, and there are different levels, mm-hmm. to it. So if John Alex level need was higher,
right.
So Austin is still on a waiting list.
So are Josie and Emily.
Yeah. So, but they should make contact with you on an annual basis to find out what's changed. And soon for Josie, it's going to be not in school anymore.
Right.
And that's going to be a big determining factor.
Yeah, and that was the same for us, because when we got on the program originally, we were at the lowest level of support. But when Jeff died, when Jay lost his dad, and I'm now a solo parent, they shot us up to a much higher level because our need was greater.
Right.
Yeah,
which makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Which does make sense.
Right. So if you have some major life-changing, mm-hmm. event, that be sure you contact them and say, okay, this has changed. You know, you got to stay on them. That's the thing about all these services. It's sad, but nobody's going to help you out with it. You got to stay on it.
Yeah.
That's good. That is a good reminder and good information. Like in this transition podcast.
Yes.
Like, I've already thought of somebody I need to connect with,
mm-hmm.
that has a daughter, you know, with Down, several years older.
And I'm thinking, we may be thinking of the same person. Yeah.
And then just hearing that, stay on them.
Yeah.
Because I'm apt to just, okay, I've done this, and I can check that off my box, and I expect that people are going to do what I think they should do. But no, I need to stay on them.
It's not that they're not doing what they should do purposely, but there's so many people applying, and you just have to stay on them. Now, sometimes they are just negligent, but lots of times it's just they just can't keep up. So you have to help them keep up.
I was going to say, it's got to be a team effort.
Yeah,
it does have to be a team effort. Yeah. And you know, I've found along the way, I've had some really good supports, people, you know, come along with it. I've had some that have not been so great. But, you know, if I am... I try to always be grateful, and when they call, I want to be respectful, and I want to be, even if they maybe mess something up, I found if I can treat them graciously, even if something doesn't go the way, they're always more apt to help.
Catch more flies with honey.
Exactly, exactly. And I think so often special needs parents are in this, you know, fight.
We gotta write that down.
Write that down. Collect more flies with honey.
There you go. That is the nugget.
The squeaky wheel gets the oil. Yeah.
That's one too.
Yeah.
That one too.
See, I think I would be the honey, and you're the...
I'm the squeaky wheel. I am absolutely the squeaky wheel.
I think that. Yeah. You should see Becky's face.
That is pretty spot on, girls, right there. Spot on.
That's okay.
Hey, look, it takes all types, and I am glad to have my friend who is a squeaky wheel.
Yes.
Who's going to get things done. I have no doubt if I were to have anything come up, Don Fry is going to be
I'll be fine for
me.
You will.
And you're going to be behind like bringing brownies.
Sweetest honey. Yeah,
yeah. You'll be patching it all up after I made everybody mad.
She'll come in with the treats. Here you go. You know.
So sorry for Dawn's behavior. So sorry.
but I really truly have found that if I'm gracious with my words, then sure. Man, it really goes
a long way. It really does. I know that.
It really does. But so what are some other things, girls, related to transition that, you know, I think we talked about, like going for when you want to apply for disability? Yes. You know, we had already, Jeff was our business person, so he took care of applying for disability, went online, did all that. So I thankfully did not have to apply for all of that, but so that he got all that ball rolling for us. But something that I didn't know, and I think this is something that other special needs parents, hopefully no one else has to get in the position that I don't want anybody else to go in this position that I am as being a solo parent because my husband passed away. But, you know, John Alex was on disability, but when his dad passed away, you automatically get switched to Social Security. So you're on SSI, which is the disability. But when Jeff died, he automatically started taking his dad's Social Security. So it's different.
Oh.
So the $2,000 doesn't apply to him. They don't check his account.
When you
say
the $2,000 doesn't apply to him, that's referring to in part one.
Yes. Yeah. Where the amount of money that you have. So let's talk a little bit about that because Lori,
right.
That's where you guys are right now.
Yes, Josie turned 18 back in the summer, and I have neglected to, I just keep putting it off. I'm procrastinating on getting her, not signed up, what's the word for disability?
Applied.
Thank you.
You're
applied.
Welcome.
And really, honestly, it's just because I'm like wimpy and it overwhelms me.
Yeah, it's a lot.
About even getting on the computer and pushing the right buttons, which I'm sure to a lot of people that's like, that's no big deal. That's so easy. But it just kind of stresses me. I just need to do it.
So Dawn will sit down with you and walk you through it.
In all her spare time. Yeah. Bless her heart. She's already forwarded me the email back in the summer of, here, just get on this website and just do it.
Right. Well, and it might be a good thing to note as well that if you start the application process online and you feel like you need to stop, you can save it. And go back, and you don't have to do it all at once.
That's good.
You can go back. They're just going to give you a login number, and when it gives you the number,
you
can print it off or write it down.
I may have one. Like I may have started this and then been like, and quit.
Yeah, because it's very intimidating when you first read it. This is going to take you this long, and you're going to need all this stuff. And for our kiddos, it was for Austin. Let me say it's difficult because our evidence of his disability is not medical. I don't have doctors' things showing his limitations. That's more of just his function, right? So it was more. That was difficult for me because I had no. I mean, doctors and medical records. I don't have any medical records that are going to show that. I got IEPs for 12 years.
We have an extra chromosome in every cell of our body.
there you go.
That's kind of a surprise.
Well, and I will say, Lori, I mean, for us, once John Alex got on disability, the biggest help for us was insurance.
Sure.
Because for so many years, you know, we were paying out of pocket for everything because of where we were income-wise. We didn't have state insurance. We had private insurance. Mm-hmm. And then when he turned 18, the whole world opened. With that respect, with his insurance.
Oh, that's great. I hadn't thought of that.
So
that is a huge benefit.
So I think the thing is that Dawn has been through this with Austin. So Dawn will sit down with you at the computer, and she will walk you through.
Oh, will you, Dawn?
Oh, well, I can do that.
Volunteering.
I'm volunteering you because we're that. We're that. Listen. That's what we do for each other here.
Okay.
You know, that's what we do for each other. I know. But so, Dawn, you applied. You shared this in the last episode a little bit. You applied, and what happened?
And we got denied. Which, from what I understand from most people, is that they you just get denied the first round.
Yeah, and see, we didn't. I don't remember us getting denied, but we took John Alex in with us, and it was very obvious. Like, it was like, okay.
Sure.
You know, but so for us, I don't, we may have, but I don't remember getting denied.
Well, and we are, of course, in a COVID world. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, usually I think you do that in person thing.
Right.
But they never laid eyes on
true.
Us.
That's true.
Right. So I just got an attorney that does disability work to That's do it for me, because it's a game and you have to play the game, and I don't know how to play this mm-hmm. game.
Yeah.
So I just got someone else to
you
do
take
it
care
for
of
me.
Conservatorships.
That's right.
Let this guy
That's
take
right.
care of yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's in you know, you when we did that podcast at By the Brook, and somebody said, "Oh, you guys have it all together."
Oh,
see,
yeah.
I mean, clearly we don't. So I think that's important to note, is that everybody struggles with this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
it's when just
this stage. This
it's
new
just
stage.
A it's just a struggle.
Yeah.
And it's nothing is
And
easy.
Even you, who this is like, you are so used, you're going to go, you know, you're used to going and standing before a judge and defending people and doing different things in a courtroom. And yet, even for you, these are things.
Yeah.
I think that's the good point.
Yeah.
You know, not, these are challenging things
yes,
for all of us.
For everybody. I have a doctorate, and it's still, I'm like, I don't understand this.
Right.
I don't understand what
right.
how to do this.
Do we have to start calling her Dr. Dawn?
Dawn? I feel like. Did I know this?
I don't think I knew that either.
Okay, so you get a crown, Becky, and Dawn gets, I don't know, what's the opposite of a dunce hat? Oh, doctor.
Oh,
weird
name.
Okay. We'll
yeah,
come up with
Dr. Dawn.
Dr. Dawn.
And do I get, like, the clown hat or something?
You know, attorneys, you do.
Know.
You do. Shoot. So, attorneys don't generally go by a doctor, even though we have a doctorate, but because I teach at Tech.
Oh.
Do your students call you Dr.
Some
Fry?
Some of them do, yes.
Wow.
Some of them call me Dr.
Things we are learning
Dawn.
Here on the
yeah.
Rising Above podcast. For those
Dr.
moms,
Dawn.
I wonder, see, Lori's going to break into song. So, yeah, so I'm just wondering, so now, like, at By the Brook, I think that's a bit
oh,
there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, I think.
It's on.
Y'all are going to have
Lord.
To. Yeah.
Okay,
oh
moving
goodness.
On.
So,
Dr. Dawn.
We're
here today with Dr. Dawn
yeah.
and Becky Davidson.
And Lori Chapman.
And a little sidekick named Lori.
Oh, my goodness. So, all that to say, it's overwhelming to all of us. It's
yes,
not, I mean,
it's
like,
very overwhelming.
And especially when you're looking at, okay, 18, school's going to change. You've got to go do the conservatorship. You've got to go do SSI. I mean, there are a lot of big things that happen.
Yeah.
At
and
this
you are
phase.
Just used to your kid being at school from 8 to 3, and now it's going to be endless summer.
Endless
yeah.
summer. That we need. That's what
endless
we should talk about.
Endless summer.
But before we go to endless
okay,
summer,
sorry.
Can I interrupt?
Oh, yes.
Because we had written one more thing down.
Yeah.
Was estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
If we just want to.
Yeah, let's just throw
think,
that out real quick.
And I don't know that we have to go that deep, but I find in the few conversations I have that people don't know that. And we were blessed early on by another family with a son with Downs
mm-hmm.
that they cued us on, or you know,
yeah.
cued us into estate planning. And it kind of goes back to, I think we talked about this a little bit in the first part.
Yes.
About
having
a savings account,
and
not having assets,
things.
And how that affected applying for disability and stuff, but especially, you know...
With the estate plan. So, like, grandparents naturally think, well, I'm going to write all my other children, grandchildren into the will. I need to write, you know, of course we're going to include
everyone.
Our child
right.
with special, you know, our grandchild with special needs.
Sure.
But what happens when they do, Dawn?
Yeah,
they can,
if your child inherits and it's more than $2,000 in assets, they won't get benefits or they'll lose the benefits mm-hmm. they have.
Until I would think they've spent that inheritance and then
I
have to reapply.
Then you
Is
would have to
happens?
Reapply and I don't even know how that would look.
Yeah,
so the solution
I don't even know.
To
it's
not
just not to
problem.
Inherit anything. They can put it into a special needs trust. They can put it into an ABLE account.
Mm-hmm.
So there's many different ways that you can arrange that. Just don't let your child. And so in a will, this is equally important. In a will, be sure that you're not leaving right. it to them, and it sounds rude, and you know, yeah. it's going to be bad because we're going to leave that person out of mm-hmm. the will, but it's benefiting them. But then if you are a special needs parent and you pass away without a will, and that your only child is your only special needs child, then they're going to inherit everything you have inadvertently, and you probably, I mean, right? So I think it's just important that when you have a special needs child, you need to start thinking about those that things. Time, yeah. even though you're young, and right. people don't want to think about it.
You don't want to think about that, and you don't want to think about all the, it's almost like you kind of need to be... all along, when you get to a certain point, probably middle school age, where you've kind of got to start looking ahead to that. And now the financial part, that needs to be done early on, meaning yeah. making sure that they're not included in wills and all of those things. But it's a lot to process. I know, you know, now, Lori, you and I have both just gone through estate planning.
Right, which is what we're referring to, is setting up your will, knowing whatever possessions you have mm-hmm. in this life, that when we pass, yes, my husband and I have just done that, you've done that.
We've done that. We used the same attorney.
Right, here in town. But making sure that, you know, if we were to pass tomorrow, we mm-hmm. have five children. And so how is that going to be taken care
yeah.
of?
Yeah.
And so there'll be a trust. There'll be a special mm-hmm. needs trust set up. So whatever inheritance our two daughters with Down syndrome would naturally get, they don't. It's going to the trust,
yeah.
Which then will enable, you know,
a trustee to be able to spend money for their benefit. But it's not their
whoever
money.
Whoever is taking right. care of them, then it's enabling mm-hmm. that person to take yeah. care of the girls. So yeah. so it's really not that you're not letting them inherit anything or writing them out.
You're just protecting them, yeah,
and protecting it so that they can be taken care of.
Right.
Anyway,
that's right.
So important to know. One more big thing to know.
Well, and I think, too, this attorney that you and I both worked with, one of the things that she recommended, she said, it's awkward. It's an awkward conversation to have with family members about their will. You know, it's an right. awkward thing for me to go to my mom and say, okay, in your will, you know, but I had to do that. But she recommended having letters written that you just send to family members and say, hey, just so you know, please, you know, if you're considering this, please, these are some other options. Because I think we even have like maybe some extended family members, those of you who are listening, who are thinking, oh, I want to leave this life insurance policy to my nephew who has special needs because I want to be able to bless him. Or maybe they don't have children or they don't, you know.
Right, whatever.
But
right.
because they may not know that could end up being a detriment.
And they probably wouldn't know that.
Exactly. And so her recommendation was write a family letter that just explains, here's the situation. You know, if you're planning on leaving something, here are ways you can do yeah. that.
Or if you have an 8 family member, just have them have that conversation.
Yeah,
an
that
eight.
Would be.
Oh,
an Enneagram 8.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because yeah. I just told them, listen, if you people are thinking about leaving anything to Austin, don't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, you just said it like that. I don't need a letter.
Yeah. I just
yes.
said
don't it. You will.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't even think about it.
Just leave him flat yeah. out.
Just yeah. leave him flat out.
And it does feel, it's awkward talking about money. It's awkward talking
sure.
about death.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the whole thing. It's not, it's
and,
like you
and,
want,
and, you know, honestly, come on, folks. Our life can already be awkward
yes.
with family members.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
because of our
yes.
unique situations mm-hmm. with our special
yeah.
unique situations.
Because we,
it's even already our, can be awkward.
My grandmother had 6 children. The youngest one had Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. So when, this was years ago, she's passed away now, but when she did estate planning long before I was even an attorney, but she did a will and we specifically named the child with Down syndrome and said we were leaving them out so that there was
no question,
which looks even worse to the outside world, but there was no way anybody could challenge mm-hmm. it and say, you know, it. We specifically named him and said he'd get... We specifically exempt him from anything.
Yeah. And it's just, they're awkward conversations.
Yeah.
But like you said, Lori, our whole life is full
exactly.
of awkward
That's
conversations.
Right.
How many hard things have we already done for our kiddos?
Yeah.
That's right.
You know? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's just so, it's such a, I think, you know, when you have your child, there's so many things, you know, you start discovering their diagnosis, you start reeling with that. That is a whole world, and that's all you can handle.
That's all.
That's
right.
All
their diet, their therapies, their everything.
That's all you need to handle at that point. You know.
So welcome to transition, y'all. Yeah, I mean, here's all the new topics.
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally different world. But I think in a lot of ways, it's still hard. It's not
sure.
easy, but we're more seasoned now. We're a little bit more where we can do those hard things. We've been doing hard things for 18 years. And, you know, just to encourage you, especially on these parents, these are things that we have to do. It's part of our responsibilities that we have to do for our kids. But you've done plenty of other hard things.
It's the next
That's
level.
That's right.
It's
just,
next
right.
level.
That's right.
I mean, you've
level
already parenting. Done so many hard things. And almost when you get to this place, this is kind of like once you get this set up, then there's always going to be things you're dealing with, but I think this is kind of like the final
big
this is the last, you know, like this is the next.
Is it, or are we telling ourselves that?
Dawn would know better than I did because you had an uncle who was
older. Yeah. So no, I think as far as legal things go, yes, it should be, but I think it's always going to be the next big thing because then it's always their social life or their,
right.
which
yeah.
is a different story.
Yeah.
But
well, which
yeah.
could transition us into what you were referring to as endless summer.
Yes.
I think that's what I wrote down as practical family life.
Yeah.
AKA endless summer. Yeah. What does
And what do you mean by endless? Endless summer meaning because they're not in school anymore.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That whole, you were used to the school routine.
Yeah.
Yes.
For this last
yes.
time.
And
many
summer
years.
Is always hard. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so hard. And then it's going to be endless summer because they're not going to go back to school.
And so, right. someone who's further down the path, who'll be the old wiser woman here, will say, "You get your routine. It's just like you do when they start school. It's like we're in
a
our where we get our new normal. So now we're in our new normal. Now we've had to get another like, okay, our whole the reality. Our life as special needs parents is always." There's going to be a new normal. So,
yes.
like, I'm getting ready to hit another new normal as Jay's caregiver goes on maternity leave, you know. She,
right.
she, and so, I'm going to have to readjust to all of that. So, that's that new normal. But, you know, when J.A. got out of school, yeah, I had to adjust. But then we got our routine and we got our rhythm. Then COVID hit. You know, so, I mean, there's
yeah,
always
something.
That something.
Sure.
But it's not as daunting, I think. It's actually, there's some, it's hard not having that constant care. You know that you've got that steady care, but there's also.
Or honestly, can we just say too, it might be that you get that break. You have that steady break at school.
Of course.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah,
you
I mean, like, that no, that's what, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. That the, you know, Monday through Friday from 8 to 3, they're covered, you know, they're taken care of, they're good.
Right.
You know, now where I am is I'm hiring people, I'm scheduling people, I'm, you know, mm-hmm. but there's also some really good with that. Like if John Alex wants to sleep in, he can sleep in. If he's having an off day, I don't have to make, I remember so many days waking up and going, he's a little off today. Do we go to school? Do we not go to school?
Yes.
You know, that pressure of going like, am I going to make the wrong decision there? Like, do we go to school? Is he okay? Do we not go to school? So there's some blessings. I mean, like, that I'm like, I don't have to worry about IEPs. I don't have to worry about, I have other things. I have a meeting today with his insurance. I forgot about that till we were having this conversation
yeah.
going, oh yeah, they're calling today. You know, but it's all, things are almost a little more relaxed, quite honestly, that we're not in that pressure cooker of school, especially now with COVID. It's like, I don't have to worry about that,
right.
about him going into school. So there are some, you know how we do? We're the most adaptive people in the world, you know? And we get, it's like, okay, we're going to, it takes us a couple of weeks. And then it's like, okay, we're in the groove. And then something else will happen, you know, down
there. Yeah, I think ours is going to be a little more complicated, though, because he's going to want a job.
Yeah, yours
going
is going to be.
Want,
yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to want that social stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when is he, you know, because even when we're just on break, he's like, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? I'm like, we ain't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I ain't got nothing to do.
Right.
So, and being able, being able to give that structure like school does
yeah.
is going to be.
And keep him active.
Occupied in their brain. Yeah. In their brain building, growing.
And feeling responsible for their... It's like a new... This is my perspective on this side of it, with having a senior and a junior in high school and knowing that, okay, well, so she graduates, and then what? Because I still have three under her. It's still at home. So, you know, knowing that, okay, so next year Josie will be out of school, and then the next year Emily will be out of school, but I still have two youngers in school and doing that. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I'm responsible for her, what's the phrase I use? Her quality of life.
Yes.
I'm responsible for
their social life, their mental health, everything. Physical health. Falls on me.
Yes. I feel that.
And, yeah, I feel that too.
I don't know. Okay, good. So it's not just me being like
overly
controlling and freaky, but just like that's a fair way to feel.
Yes.
And I do. So I feel that is too. Overwhelming. Like, how am I going to do that? And I know, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are believers here in this podcast today.
We're believers today or believers?
Every day.
Every day.
In this, we as your guests on your podcast today are all believers.
Right.
And so, you know, choose to live by that. So I know that the Lord's going to help us, you know.
It's overwhelming still. I mean,
but it is overwhelming.
I see it on you, Lori. I do. I see it on you. Like, it's like trying to process through
what to do for her.
Yeah.
And you know, I know some of her strength and I know some of her weaknesses. I don't want to limit her and I know that others could get more out of her. So I want her to go to programs, but then there's also that lack of communication. And so being willing to like let her go be a part of something outside of me or the safety school. I feel like that our school system and program provides.
Yeah.
Can I let her go out and do that? What is that going to look like?
Yeah.
And is she going to be happy? Is she going to feel fulfilled? Or is she just going to want to sit in her room in her recliner and watch the Cosby Show episodes over and over again? And that's not good enough. You know, so just feeling that, what does this look like?
Yeah.
So, because I can, you know, you can make me that list of go apply for this and go apply for that and make sure you have the conservatorship. And I can XYZ all that. But what about this, the family life overall, you know, this endless summer?
See, and mine's so different because it's John Alex and myself. So my world, it looks completely different. Then you are managing so many people.
Yes.
You've got twins who, same age but different levels.
Right.
And so it's honestly, it's easier for me to manage on so many levels just because I only have one. I've got to, you know, it's John Alex and myself, you know.
Right.
So that's a lot, Lori.
Well, and then knowing what are her expectations? Where is she feeling, like, I don't know, unfulfilled and let down versus, I don't know. Yeah.
What does she want?
And how do we make that happen? And what is a practical line there of making it happen?
Because if the goal, if her goal became get married and have a baby, then we have to figure out how to work that, right? Without just saying that's not going to happen, right? Because you can't do that. So
you cannot say that.
And then that's where it gets me is that he's going to have, even Austin's going to have an expectation that I'm not going to know how to
either fix. Yes.
And especially now, he's hanging out with college kids now.
He is.
It's a different dynamic for him.
Yes.
You know, being, you know, it's a great situation for him going, you know, hanging out with the college ministry at church and all that.
Yes.
But is that going to open up the door in him for
more expectations?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Something else that should naturally happen in his life. That's the next milestone that he sees for him.
Is aware of.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that's going to look. Mm-hmm. I guess we just have to pray that God will explain it to them.
We don't want to borrow trouble from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Explain to him, you know, because the driver's license thing became a non-issue. I was really worried about that, you know, because Sydney started driving and then he tried to drive a couple of times and it just became a non-issue.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't
want
care
to.
Anymore.
Yeah.
So that worked out really well.
Yes.
So I'm hoping the same happens for whatever else.
But, you know, it's like what you just said. I think God, I know God can go in and explain things to our kids in ways that they can understand. I know that He can communicate to them in ways that we can't, in human terms, communicate to them. And so, just like with the driver's license there. And so, you know, I think, I love, like, looking at Josie, we know there's certain things she excels at. She loves to do. And wouldn't it be amazing to see her being able to find those opportunities to get to do that, whether it was a quote-unquote job or not, but it's just something that's fulfilling to her to make her feel that she's a part of, like Austin going to college, you know.
Right.
But it's a special ed program, but it's college.
Or if it's a relationship later on, that works out somehow, some way.
Girls.
I know.
And then I think I haven't prepared her for life. I have not prepared her for life out of high school. You know, just some practical things. You know, I just ponder, because if she wants, sometimes she doesn't want to have to go with me somewhere. She wants to stay home. Well, she's not at a place to be able to stay home on her own. And she's very aware, you know, the 15-year-old stays at home by herself. Mm. And she's never come out directly to say that, but she has said enough that I feel like she sees that.
Yeah.
Like, well, why does she get to stay home but I can't? And how to explain that? And then what should I be doing to help see how far could we go with that?
Yeah.
Maybe she could under certain parameters.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Figuring out that skill level.
I heard it's
overwhelming.
It's a lot. I heard a mom say one time, and she was talking about her daughter who had Downs, that she'd read an article that was called Smart Enough to Know I'm Not Smart Enough.
I say that phrase a lot. I think you referenced that, and that phrase stuck in my head. And I think in her case, that is, I think she senses that.
Yeah.
You know, like
okay. Yeah. Like
there is something different.
There was a point where I know Austin became more aware of the differences and more aware.
But personality-wise, like my 17-year-old, her personality is one that maybe she does realize that, but it's just, she seems
it's just
fine.
Is.
Yeah.
She just does her
just
thing.
Just don't leave your keys out.
Yeah, she's the one that, she cannot be left home alone because she would, who knows what she would do. You know, she would have a house party or something while I'm gone.
She would.
And
she
invite all of the people from a galaxy far, far away to come party.
At her house.
But it... That social awareness just doesn't seem to be as strong of a drive as it is for
the
other,
my oldest.
Sure.
Lori, you've got a lot of players, you know, that you have to try to figure out.
Sure.
It's a lot. And again, you know, that's why I think this is such a neat dynamic in that we come at this special needs life. There's so many things that are similar. We can talk about, you know, okay, this is how you go and get your Social Security, your disability, your, you know, conservatorship.
That's overwhelming, but at least that has, like...
Those are things, exactly. Right? Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Exactly. But it's these other things when it's looking at your individual child and how you navigate this world with them and how to give them the most productive, successful life that they can have.
Let them be the adult that they want to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Austin does.
Yes.
Josie does. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know.
Jay's happy watching his Wiggly Safari.
Well, you know, Emily would be happy sitting there watching Wiggly Safari with him.
Yeah. I mean, he is content and happy. And that's why I think we cannot, it's individualized.
Right.
Even when they're adults, it's individualized because what Josie needs, what Austin needs, what John Alex needs, it's going to look completely different.
And we haven't even talked about what that looks like for the moms.
Yeah. No, seriously. Okay. It's you know, I won't say how old I am, but I mean, I'm still caring for someone who is like a toddler, but I'm a little bit older than I was when he was a toddler, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And so as we get older, because that's going to be a podcast for another day.
Sure.
Because I mean, you know, we get older and, you know, we're going to have our kids with us. And for me, because my husband's gone, no longer with us, you know, it's a joy. I'm thankful that he's with me. And I So it's different for me. And I get some families, yeah, it's like, let them go and live in a group home because that's what's going to be best for them. That's going right. to be where yes. they're going to thrive yes. and excel and be. And so I think, again, we have to like look at each other and give grace and go, you do what's best for Josie. You do what's best for Austin. I'm going to do what's best yeah. for John Alex. And no, you know, just like, okay, I'm going to cheer you on as you're doing it, yeah. you know?
But I mean, Lori made a good point. I don't know how much longer we have.
Yeah,
but,
you're good.
Okay, so Lori made a good point that about her staying at home and that you haven't tested that to see if she could do it. And that's important to do because I think that's one of the things that I have learned over time is that things that I didn't think Austin could do, so I just always did it for him or didn't mm-hmm. let him do it or whatever, he can actually do it.
Yeah.
And you have to let them try that. Yeah. Now, staying at home is a big one because that, you know, so, but I mean, other things, you just have let them try it. Well, you may think, because again, it's you, right? It's them. So,
and I did a podcast recently with Greg Harper, who that's one of the things he talks about. His son went to college. I mean, like lived in the dorm, went to college, all, you know, hit Fragile X, but was able to do that. And he said, you're in the early years, I was putting those limitations on. And so he's like, take those limitations off, let them. And for me, I mean, like, I was like, I'm guilty of doing that. So guilty of doing that. So, girls, good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff.
Thanks for having us.
Always a good time.
Always a good time. So next time though, we're going to do a little bit lighter conversation because this one feels, you know, these are heavy topics, but there are things that we need to know about. They're important things, but.
And yeah, you're right. We need to talk about it and find a friend to talk about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. And again, I think for me, all along my special needs journey, finding someone who was a couple of years ahead of me to walk me through it, so, so helpful. So do you have any little bit of advice? For me, that's my advice. It's like find somebody further down the path.
Or hey, well, thanks for listening because we'll be your friend, right?
Exactly.
Queen Becky and Dr. Dawn and...
oh.
And me.
No, we got to come
be
up.
Your friend.
Yeah, we're going to come up with something for you. Maybe that would be something fun. So, if this is Dr. Dawn, I'm the Queen Mom.
Coffee
Queen
talk.
Mom.
Queen Becky, Dr. Dawn.
And then I think our listeners could come up with a name for you.
No.
This could be a contest.
I think the listeners need to come up with a name. We have Dr. Dawn, the Queen Mom Becky.
Queen Mom Becky.
And then I think our listeners need to come up with something for Dawn.
I hope we have listeners.
Yes, we have listeners. So
you could be a minion.
Minion.
No, that's not going to fly. Okay, so I think that'd be kind of fun. If we're going to be having these conversations, you know.
Every month.
Right. Then that could be kind of fun.
Okay, we'll see what our listeners come up with.
That'd be great.
And we want to know what topics also that you guys want to, what you would love us to talk about. We have a couple coming up that that'll be fun. But we would love to know, you know, if you were sitting around the table... You're sitting here having coffee with us.
With Dr. Dawn and Queen Becky.
And whatever we come up with for Lori. Then what would you want to talk about? So, all right. Thank you, girls. Love you all. And we'll be back next month with another episode of Coffee Talk with Dawn and Lori.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.